Good morning.
Good morning.
Shall we start? Let us pray first. Father, as we gather before you, we pray that you speak to us, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In the past two times, I started to talk about a topic, what is man? A very simple question. Yet people have different answers. Some people may think, well, man is just a kind of animal. But what does God tell us about? So in the past two times, the first time I talked about where did man come from? Sounds a very simple question, but all those scientists working very hard, digging around, doing experiments, trying to explain where did man come from? And after that, another big question. If we know where did man come from, then what is the meaning and the purpose of life? Now, this is a very big question. People much, much older than you may still looking for their answers. Many philosophers, wise men, they are all searching day and night. What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? And who can tell us the answer? Of course, only God can tell you what is the meaning of life. And looking around, we see so many crimes. Bad things happen in this world. Violence, war, death, famine. We may ask, what's wrong with men? What can be done? Can we use education? So people working very hard to be teachers, helping young generations. Education can change people. That's what they think. Or maybe we use policemen, all this force, prison, to tell people you have to be good. This is the way to solve man's problem? Is it this way? And where are we going? What is the end? Is it death? Is it grave? Is it the end of man's life? No. So all these questions comes, I deal with this in the first session. We came from God's creation, not evolution, not Big Bang. We talk about that, so I'm not going to spend time again. What is the purpose of life? God tells us that He created us to love Him and serve Him, to express our love to Him. So this is the meaning of life. But what went wrong is man chose the other way. So we became sinners and we lived the life of sin. Since we are going the wrong way, what did God do? What can be done? God prepared us a salvation for us, redemption in Christ. For those who believe in Him, He delivers us from that sinful life. What happens if I don't reject this redemption? So where are we going? Either you are going away from God, or you are going to be with Him in heaven. So this is man's life. First session. The second session I talk about, since man departed from God, what changes in him we can observe? So we look at Genesis. We saw that the first man, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they became sinners. And what happens in their life? They immediately, when they sin, they realize they are naked. They want to cover themselves. They want to hide. Isn't that true? When we do the wrong things, we don't want anyone to know. We feel we are exposed. We don't want people to know how weak the faults we have made. We want to hide our mistakes because we feel the shame. We put on clothing, we put on nice things, achievement, to cover ourselves, so people can see the good side of me without knowing the dark side in my life. Shameful man. We are living like a hypocrite, showing people the good side, but never dare to face the reality in our life. Shameful man turns to become an angry man. Why? Because we want to be good. When Cain realized Abel sacrificed, God is pleased with his brother. My brother is better than me. No way. He got angry. He got jealous. He hated his brother. And one day he killed his brother. Why? Because my brother is better than me. And he hated him. Becomes an angry man because we can't be number one. We want to be the best. But in fact, we are not. So we got frustrated. We became an angry man. And after that, men developed a lot of things to fill up their lives. Without God, my life is empty. Use all kinds of possessions, material things, or power, strength. Our life becomes so empty. So we became an empty man, filling up our lives with other things when we have no God inside us. The fallen man, when we saw this fallen man, all kinds of immoral things happens to him when we study the book in 2 Timothy. But there's a way out. Last time we mentioned, if this fallen man realizes his situation, he can become a repentant man. Oh, I need to change. I need to change my way. I need to change my life. And he accepted Christ, and then he can become a new man in Christ. This is what I shared the second session. Now today, I want to talk about more about this new man in Christ. For those who are Christians, this is related to you. To know more about yourself right now, your changed life in this corrupted world. How can you survive? A new life? Imagine yourself as if you are a vulnerable thing in this ferocious environment in a jungle full of dangerous animals. How can you survive? This new man in this horrible sinful world, how can we grow and conquer in this horrible sinful world? This is one thing we need to know. This new life in us can conquer death, conquer sin, or we are being conquered by sin. We must try to find out. Would God put us here to suffer, to lose, to become a loser? Or God put us here as new men in this simple world to show the world the true life. How we can overcome sin in this world. Why didn't God just take us immediately into heaven when we become a Christian? No, he put us here. He gave us his new life. He wants us to show the world what this new life is and draw more people to come to him. Now, how can we get this new life? How can I become a new man in Christ? How can I become a Christian? If I ask you, all the Christians here should be able to answer me. But you may be too shy or too scared. So I'll help you. Is it because you are coming to the meeting? You become a new man? Raise your hand if you think this is true. You are a new man because you come here.
No one raised your hand.
You become a new man because you read the Bibles.
No one raised your hand.
Nah, reading Bible can't save you. You become a new man because you pray. You are very moral. You live a very good life, is it? What do you need to do? How can I become a new man?
I can hear some heart pumping. Don't ask me.
Yes, I'm going to ask you. How can you become a Christian? What makes you a Christian? What steps you have taken? If it's not the good work you have done, then what? What makes you a Christian?
Someone has to sacrifice. I can see Caleb.
What makes you a Christian?
Believing in God and adjusting your will according to Him.
Believing in God and adjusting your
will.
Good. Any other different way to answer this problem? Any other? Some are thinking. Grace, can you think of anything?
To repent for your sins.
To repent for your sins. Indeed. Anyone? If you're not looking at me, that means you are scared. If you're looking at me, that means you want to answer. Okay. Well, by receiving a new life, God told us, for God so loved, how can I become a new man? How can I receive this new life? In here it tells, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, believes in Jesus Christ, shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. Not because how much prayer I've made, not because how much Bible, not how good I live, but because I believe in Jesus Christ. And God has given this everlasting life just because of this. Whoever, if this is your name, if your name is Paul, then if Paul believes in Him, then Paul should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Okay? So by believing. Just now some people mentioned some other thing. Or by receiving Christ. Can we read it together in John 1, 12 and 13? But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So who receive Him? Just now we read believes. And now it says received. If you believe, then you receive. You take it in. As if you believe the doctor gives you some medicine. I believe. So you take in, put it in, take it in, receive it, receive Him. So that's the important step. You come to God and say, Lord, I receive Jesus as my Savior. To them He gave the right. Then God says, I give you the right. From now on, you are the children of God. You are mine. Children speaks of sharing the same life, isn't it? Your children share your DNA, sharing your life. So God gave you the right to become the children of God. So one day when you come before the heaven, knock on the door, The angel asks you, "Who are you? Why should I let you come in?" What would you say?
"I am
the child of God. I'm coming home to see my father." So you're authorized. So heaven becomes our home. I can come home. Born of God. So believe, receive. Also, in Romans 10:9, talk about confess and believe. Can we read together again? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from sin, saved from condemnation, saved from punishment, saved from the power of sin, delivered from all these bad consequences. Why? Because I confess with my mouth so people can hear me. Not just by what I said, but inside believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, confess that the Lord Jesus, that means I acknowledge him, he is my Lord. I belong to him, I listen to him, he is Lord in my life. So confess and believe. Not secretly, I just believe in my heart. That's good enough. No, Lord, God here said, wants you to confess. You have to let people know. Announced. Let people know, I belong to him. You know, in marriage, the bride and the bridegroom, they make a vow. I take so-and-so as my lawful husband or lawful wife. You proclaim so that everybody knows from now on, this woman belongs to this man. Everyone knows. So this proclamation, this confession is your attitude. It's your standpoint as if, I want to tell the whole world I belong to him. Jesus Christ has shown his love to us by dying on the cross. Would you like to show your love to him as well? Imagine a pair of lovers. The man says to the girl, "Oh, I love you so much." What would be the best response? The girl says, "I love you too." Isn't it? That's the best. Imagine the girl say, thank you. What? Do you expect a response like that? When Jesus said, "I love you, I died on the cross." And our response is, "I believe in you. I want to follow you. I love you." That's the proper way to respond to God, isn't it? So God wants us to express, we are not feel shameful with him. He is my Lord. Proclaim it. Let the whole world know. You are a Christian. And, is it because how good I am, I save? Because, I save myself. I believe in the Lord because my faith saved me. And in Ephesians, it's talked about something like this. So how can we become a new man? It's by grace of God. And by faith, we accept that. So can we read that together? For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's not, you're struggling, and Jesus Christ is there, okay. Just like imagine you are someone in struggling, drowning in the sea, and there's a lifeboat there. Oh, so you struggle your way, climb up the lifeboat, I save myself. No. It's by grace you have been saved. So it's as if something like this. God is extending his arms to you. His grace comes to you. And what do you do? Through faith. your faith reach up to Him.
Let me do a demonstration.
I'm on the lifeboat. Jessica is struggling in the sea. So I grace, oh, poor Jessica. So I extend my hand. This is grace. Now, if she believes me, she reach out to me by faith, so I can pull her up from the drowning sea. You are saved, said I.
So this is by grace of God, He reach out to us. And by faith in Him, I reach out to Him. Done. This is how we are saved. So if I just reach out, but God does not show His hand, I can't be saved. I can't boast, oh, I saved myself. No, you don't save yourself. God by grace, and we by faith, done. So God is waiting for your response. God is waiting for you to respond. So let me ask you again. How, you say you are a Christian? How do you know you are saved? I challenge you again. You are saved? Are you saved? How do you know you are saved? Well, I feel really, really high on the day of my baptism. But now, after 2 or 3 months, I got cold. I don't have the strong feeling. The feeling has gone. Am I still saved? Once I got saved, once I believe in Christ, I read my Bible daily, every day. But I stopped reading now. My heart grew cold. Am I still saved? The strong feeling has gone. Your good works, you are turning cold, half-hearted. Are you still saved? Is the salvation depends on your good work? Does it depend on your feeling? The feeling has gone. How good are you? You're weakening. You're getting weak. Lukewarm. Are you saved? You are saved from condemnation in hell. But are you saved from sin? This is something we need to think about. We are not just saved from condemnation, from hell, but our whole life should be fully enjoy God's full salvation, deliver us from all the evil, all temptation, all different sin that can be. Are you still addicted to some kind of things? We need deliverance. We need to experience the full salvation. Okay? Now, before I tell you more about this new life in us, I have to talk about something before. Once you have received Christ, today I'm going to talk about baptism as well. You have faith. How do I know you believe in the Lord? In early days, how do the people believing the Lord express their faith? Through baptism. Simple reason. Why do you baptize? Why do you want to be baptized? If you say you are a Christian and you saw people baptized and you come to me and ask me, oh, Brother Paul, I want to be baptized. Then I ask you, why? Why do you want to be baptized? Simple. If you tell me the Lord Jesus commands us to be baptized, then I would say, amen. Not because of your mom push you. Not because of your peer pressure. Oh, they all got baptized except me. I feel some kind of pressure. I better be baptized as well. No, not a good reason. Not a good reason. It must be your relationship with the Lord. You want to baptize because you realize it's the Lord's command in your life. You are responding to a living God yourself, not the pressure from your family, not the pressure from your friends, not even pressure from other people, mature Christians. Hey, you should baptize. You should baptize. Why? Because God wants me to be baptized. So I got baptized. In Matthew, it says, when Jesus came and spoke to them, say, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this is the Lord's commands. Make disciples, not just Christians. God wants disciples listening to Him, trained by Him your whole life. Sometimes we just want to, oh, I got baptized so I won't go to hell. I can go to heaven. I can enter the heaven. When the entering the heaven, knock the door, I'm the child of God, I can come in. Not just that. Jesus wants disciples. Your whole life dedicated to follow Him. Your whole life committed to follow Him. You want your life changed here on earth. Not just an entry into heaven. You want your whole life shines like Jesus, following His footsteps, making disciples. And the first step you took is that it says, command us to baptize you. So of course you have to be baptized, isn't it? So we are preaching, wanting people to come to know the Lord, and God command us to baptize you in His name. The name of the Father, only one name, of course. Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit. That means from now on, those who baptize you, just like in the birth certificate. Who is your Father? The name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. From then onwards, you belong to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We don't have a certificate for those who baptize. But when you baptize, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, the Son and the Holy Spirit. That means you belong to God, just like a newborn. Birth certificate, as if. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So these are the life that follows, to observe all things. So you don't stop at baptism, you continue to observe all things that I have commanded you. So we continue together, continue to learn Bibles, continue to know, to learn more about God Himself. And His promise is He will be with us always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so first of all, why do we baptize? It's God's command. And look at some examples. Then those who gladly received His word in Acts, when the Holy Spirit came down, and Peter spoke a great sermon, and those who gladly received His words were baptized. And that day, it doesn't have to wait for 3 years, 4 years, 20 years. You don't have to get a certificate. You don't have to study theology. Then you become a Christian when you receive that day. I want to mention that. Once you know what you believe, you are truly believing in Him, you can be baptized. But hold on, you may say, but I feel I'm not good enough. I have so many struggles with sin. I can't guarantee I can come to the meeting. I'm still attracted by this whole world. I'm still struggle. I feel I'm not good enough. Quoted. But I wonder when you will feel you will be good enough. Frankly speaking, you are never good enough to earn your way to heaven. Not by works. Let's see Paul. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like the scales. So on that day, Paul, he went to a place, Ananias preached to him about God's Jesus, and then the blind Paul, suddenly something fell from his eyes like scales, and then he can receive his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. I point this out again to show you that when once he turned his way and received the Lord, he immediately baptized. He doesn't even have to go through a baptism class like some of us do. Immediately, he baptized. So what can we learn from here? It means not about how good you are now. Paul, here, he just realized Jesus is Lord. A week ago, he was have a part in killing Christians. He's at the worst point in his life. Killing Christians. And after a few weeks now, you baptize. He was never that good. So, which means you don't have to be good enough. Not depends on how good you are now that you can be baptized. But I'm worried about tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll fail. Maybe after 1 year I won't go to church anymore. Then you are worried how good you will be. So, baptism is not telling people, hey folks, I am good, I read Bible, I go to meeting, therefore I am good enough to be baptized. No. Baptism is not telling people how good you are now. You may still be very weak. It's not about you, your guarantee, I will be a good Christian, I will read Bible, I will go to prayer meeting, I will be a very dedicated Christian. You are not telling people how good you will be. It's not about you. Well, in a way, it's about you. It's telling about people your determination. It's about telling people your decision to follow Him. It's about how you feel about Christ. Now, I make a decision to follow Him. It's about that. Telling people your decision. Now, for those who are not baptized, listen carefully. Listen carefully. It's not about how good you are now, how mature you are now. It's not telling people how good you will be. Not about in the future. Not stop focusing on you. It's telling about your attitude to Jesus. Have you decided to follow Him?
You know when people go to the marriage ceremony? It's about their will. I am willing to take so-and-so to be my wife. That telling people your want, your decision. Of course, they make some promise, oh, no, I won't leave her no matter whether we are sick or poor, I won't leave her. You are guaranteed something. But many people fail, isn't it? So, but baptism is not trying to tell people how good you will be. It's telling about your decision to follow him. But how about in the future I become weak? Then it's yours, not your business. I tell you, once you decided to follow him, he will help you. If you learn driving, when you sit on that, I don't know how to drive, I don't know when to turn, I don't know how to go through the roundabouts. Don't worry. The driving instructor is sitting next to you. He will help you in difficult circumstances. He will save you.
I did that a lot, isn't it? Grace can testify.
Oh, roundabout, how do I turn? Don't worry. When you sit next to me, I am in charge of your safety. I'll help you to turn. I'll tell you how to make a better turn.
So once you accept Jesus to become your Lord, when you invited him, when you receive him into your life, he will guide you to victory. He will guide you to victory over sin. If you keep listening to him, many of you know I'm a driving instructor. Some people think they know how to drive, sit next to me. I tell them, slow down. No. Slow down. No. Ah, then he failed because of speeding. My heart said, see, I told you to slow down and you're not listening. If you listen, then you learn. If we listen, we can stay away from trouble. If we listen, if we honor him as Lord, if we listen to him, he will be in charge of your life. It is his desire and duty to teach you how to live a victorious life if we listen to him. So it's not, the first step is not the problem inviting him in. It's what follows if you continue to listen to him. So the first step, forgive me to go back to driving instruction, driving lessons. First step, people listen to me. And afterwards, when they feel they know how to drive, they don't listen to me. Isn't it? So someone failed because of that? It's your choice. But if they listen to me, then I feel it's my duty. I'll help him to enjoy driving, to enjoy how to do the right thing at the right time. I'll show them. So similarly, if we listen to our Lord, he will help us to grow in him, to live a victorious life. So it's not one decision to accept him. It's about the life that follows. So for those who are Christians, think about your life. Are we continuing to listen to him? So it's not only a determination, a decision to make, oh, I want to be baptized. I go down into the water. Now I'm baptized. Finish? No. It's the starting of a lifelong journey. It's a starting for a commitment to follow him. So it's not the end, it's the beginning. So this new man started by accepting, repenting, receiving Jesus into your life, and then continue to listen to Him, and He will guide us throughout our journey in life. So this is basically, I want to talk about baptism. So let me come back. I ask you two questions. How do you know you are saved? Is it because you're feeling, because of your good work? All these are changing. Your feeling can change. Your performance changes. Sometimes you are good, sometimes you are bad. But something cannot be changed. Something very reliable. That is God's words and God's promise. So that's why I'm quoting the Bible verses just now. God's promise never change. Your feeling can come and go. Sometimes you are good, sometimes you are bad. That change. But God's promise. God is not changing. His promise is not changing. We put our trust in Him. Are you saved? Have you fulfilled the requirement of His promise? Have you believed, accept Him? Have you received Him? If so, God make a promise to you. Second question. How do you show, have you shown your decision to follow Him? How is your life today? If you are not baptized, if you have believed in Christ, if you are not baptized, why? Something bothering you? Something you have struggled? Think about. If you have questions, you can ask me, you can ask Michelle or other brothers. Girls, you may, if you want, you can come to Eunice, ask Eunice. She may help you. So, next, after 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about what is man for. Today is what is man, part three. Part four, I'm going to talk about this new life in us. How can I always fail? I want to experience victorious life. How can I change my life? How can I listen to Him? We'll talk about that in two weeks' time. If you have questions, come back to ask me. Okay? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for You loved us and saved us, and You want us to follow You. So, Lord, we pray for everyone among us who are saved and who are not saved. Lord, we pray that we can find Your blessing, Your grace, and Your mercy. Help us, Lord, to grow in You. Help us, Lord, to follow You. Help us, Lord, to be Your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.